listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Good morning. Here we go. Let's open up our Bibles right now to Psalm chapter 119. We're talking about I am today. I am. Everybody say I am.
I am.
All right, you don't know what you are today, except you probably already got your little sticker. So you kind of got a heads up today. We're talking about I am new, and this is the last sermon in this series. Next week, my dad will be here preaching. Pastor Mike will be here, so we're going to have a good time with him, and I'm excited about that. Also, real quick, tonight, we've got a community service over at Faith Community Church. If you don't know where that is, it's on Highway 11, like you're going towards Springville, and it's on the left. So we're going to be there at 6 o'clock tonight. I get to do the preaching at that service tonight, which is exciting, until I got the email that said your sermon can only be 15 to 20 minutes long, at which I started laughing. I thought apparently nobody in that church has ever heard me preach. I don't know if I can do 15 minutes. I will try my best. I told Pastor Shane I will cut my notes in half and see what happens. So that's what we're going to be doing tonight at 6 o'clock. If you would, Psalm chapter 119, verse 105, let's just do a little recap of what we've been talking about. The Bible says this: your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We've been talking about our identity, who we are. And a lot of times in life, we're constantly searching for who we really are. We want to know, what am I here for? Why am I here? What about all these things in my past? What is my life supposed to be like? And we try to find our identity in a lot of different things. We look at our parents a lot of times, and we see what our parents were like. And your parents really shape who you are a lot of times. And that's good. That's good if you had really good parents. It's not so good if you had bad parents or absentee parents. Sometimes we look at our past and the things that we've done, and we allow those things to shape who we are going forward. Sometimes we look at our performance, you know, just our actions, our jobs, our different things that we do, and we allow those things to shape who we are. But we get all these different identities from all these different places, when really the Bible says very plain and clear, it says, my word, it says the word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. And that word path there means course of life. It means your character, your morals, who you are, what you stand for. Your identity is found right here in the word. And if we will allow the word will guide us and direct us and give us a true identity that will be worth far more than anything we can get from our past or our parents. We got to allow the word to tell us who we are. So the first week we said that we were a child of God. And one of the things we talked about there was we said that because we're a child of God, we're not necessarily born children of God. We are adopted into the family of God. And we said that's awesome. Adoption is incredible because God chose us. See, whenever you give birth to a child, you have no choice. That child is your child no matter what, right? Rose is smiling because her daughter's sitting next to her and she's thinking, oh, wow, I'm stuck with this girl. No, I'm just teasing. But when you give birth to a child, that is your child. But when you adopt a child, you have to go in and on purpose pick that child out and take that child to be your own. And isn't it wonderful to know that God came in and picked you and I out? Even whenever we were jacked up and messed up and we had all the kind of sin and things going on in our life, God picked you out of the crowd. He said, I want you, and I want you to be a part of my family. And not only as children of God were we picked out, but then we were made joint heirs, the Bible says, with Jesus Christ. In other words, we have the same inheritance as Jesus does. That's wonderful. I don't know about you, but I love that part of being a child of God. The next week we talked about that we are called, and we said every one of us is called for a specific purpose and reason. That not only did God choose you to be his child, but he has set you apart, the Bible says. He says he has called us a holy generation, and that word holy means to be set apart for a purpose. God's got a purpose for everybody in here. It doesn't matter what your job is, you've got a calling and a purpose. A lot of times in churches, we have this misconception that just the preacher or the singers, that they are called. Missionaries are called. Can I tell you today, if you work at the railroad, if you work today at the gas station, you're called. Every one of us is called for a specific purpose, and that purpose is the purposes of God to reach other people. So today we're going to be talking about being new. Everybody say new. New. Now some of you are thinking right now, you're thinking, well, well, I'm not new. You know, I've been around for a while. I'm not new. And we get this misconception sometimes that because the Bible says that you're a new creation in Christ, and we're going to read that later, but we get this misconception that because we're a new creation, we think, well, I got saved when I was 10 years old, or I got saved when I was 20 years old, or I got saved when I was 30 years old. And it's been a while since then. So therefore, I'm not new anymore. I want to tell you today, the whole point of the service today, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, is that you are new every single day. You are new. That's a identity. That is something you can claim every day. And so today, let's get into the Word, and let's get cracking here for just a second. One of the things that I want to tell you, and it's a little quote that I think is important, and I actually have it for the screen today because it's so important to what we're saying today. But look at this quote for just a second, and it's going to talk about your past identities and what they want to do. You got that over there, Kim? You ready? There it is. It says, we often use our past identities as excuses for wrong actions, attitudes, and affections. We use our past identities as excuses for our wrong actions, attitudes, and affections. Let me tell you what that means. That means this. A lot of times if a guy has a struggle with lust, what do we do as guys? Now, none of the guys want to claim this today, so I will claim it for you. I'll take the bullet, fellas. Don't worry. What we say is we say this. Oh, well, you know, I'm a man. And that's what men do. Men just lust. That's just a struggle every man has, because I read the book, Every Man's Battle. So that's what every man has to do it. So we all lust. And so therefore my struggles are okay. Can I tell you today it's not okay? We can't say just because that's my past identity, because what do we have the little sticker on today says, I am new. It doesn't say I'm old. It says I'm new. And therefore if I'm new, then that past can't define who I am today. It can't be an excuse. Sometimes we have these anger issues and we're dealing with our kids or we're dealing with our coworkers, and all of a sudden anger just rises up and you get so upset and you know you've gone beyond just a little bit mad. You've gone into anger and you've gone into sin. And what do we say a lot of times? We say, oh, but you know how I am though. It's my family. You know, my daddy was that way, and so now I'm this way, or I'm Irish, you know, or whatever. And it's okay for me to be angry, you know. And we start claiming all this stuff about anger, and we say, well, it's my past identity, and so therefore it's okay for me to be that way now. How many of y'all have ever had I know none of y'all have ever seen a woman like this before, just on TV, but sometimes women, I've seen them get this really bad attitude, and they start gossiping and fussing and letting people have it, right? Y'all don't know anybody like that, but I've seen them on TV, and they just letting people have it, just give them a tongue lashing, and then what did they say? They say, well, you know me, that's just how I am, and I just had to give a piece of my mind, and I just had to tell them what was up. What are you doing? You're using a past identity, what you used to be like, to excuse the way you are now. Even though you've been saved, even though you've given your heart to Jesus, yeah, maybe you're taking your past identity and making an excuse for the way you want to act now.
Yep.
Sometimes we look at our affections, the things we love more than anything else, and we say, but you just don't understand. You don't understand what I've been like. Listen, can we hit somewhere that's home for me? You start looking at sports and you start realizing how much sports you may watch, some of us guys and ladies, how much time we spend with sports, how much time we spend with LSU football or Alabama football or Auburn football or whatever football you wanna be a part of. Tennessee football, probably not at all. But but you start looking at these sports. And listen, we start saying, but you don't understand, my whole life I've loved Alabama football. I saw the Bear standing on the sideline smoking. You know, I mean, I was there. I saw it happen. He changed my life. And so when it comes football season, you know, don't expect to see me too much. I've got to be around my team. What are we doing? That's an affection. That's a worship that we have. And we're saying, but it's because of my past. It's because my daddy took me to a football game, and therefore I have to love football. Look, I love football. But that's not who I am. At the end of the day, that doesn't define who I am going forward, right? It's just something I love. It's something I enjoy, but it's not who I am. But sometimes we take the things that we love and we enjoy so far, and we make this excuse of, well, you know, I can't pray today. I can't read my Bible because, right? And we start making excuses. And so today we're going to be looking at those three areas, the attitude, the action, and the affections. And I want to just tell you, those are three areas that are common to man. These are three failures that are common to all of us. These are three identities, three parts of our identity that always want to come back. They always want to attack us. As a matter of fact, if you look in 1 John chapter 2, that's in the New Testament, it's past the regular John. So if you're looking at regular John, it ain't him. Keep going to the right. You'll find 1 John. He's in there. 1 John chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 16. Or you could just look at the screen. Either way. The Bible says this, for all that is in the world. Look at this. He's telling us right off the bat the three things that are going to be an attack to you and me. It says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Another version that I like talks about the cravings of the body. It talks about the lust. And then it talks about the boastings of what someone has. Can I tell you what those three things are right there? It's the same thing as actions, attitudes, and affections. It's talking about your mind, your body, and your spirit. Your mind, your body. The cravings of the flesh, that is your body. Those are those things that you just crave and you desire. And look, we can go back, we can take it to each little aspect of our life, whatever, we always talk about the cravings, and we immediately think sexual sin, but can I tell you, there are cravings that have nothing to do with sexual sin at all. There are cravings that we have that can become addictions to us. That is a bodily issue. We think that all addictions are all mental. I'm going to tell you, they're not all mental. If they were all mental, whenever you pulled somebody cold turkey off an addiction, they wouldn't have the shakes and they wouldn't have withdrawals. It's a body thing that gets a hold of you sometimes. And you crave these things. The Bible talks about the lust. Where does lust happen? Any kind of lust. Again, we're not talking about sexual sin all the time, although that's a part of it. Look, you can lust after anything. Lust is an extreme desire for something. You can lust after anything. But what is that? That's in your mind. Lust happens right up here. That's a battle that's taking place in your mind. That's a temptation that's working in your mind. And that the enemy is always going to want to come at you. He's going to want to tempt that body. He's going to want to come at you with the cravings, with bodily issues. He's going to want to come at you with mental issues. And then the third thing is, it talks about the boasting and the things that you have in this life. What is that? That's worship. When you're boasting about something, that's something you worship. Whenever you can't stop talking about something, that's something you worship. Now, that works great when you're talking about God. That works great when you're talking about your spouse. It works really bad whenever you're talking about your football team or your car or your house or whatever, right? All of a sudden, we find ourselves worshiping all the wrong things. And the Bible says this, those are the three areas that we're going to be attacked is in those three areas, the body, the mind, and the spirit. The spirit is what worships. Yep. I'm going to tell you, even in studying this, I get convicted every time. Y'all think I just preach to you, but I promise you this is stuff I preach to me. And you just catch the leftover. But this is one of those things for me that I really have to think about is what are the things that I really worship? What are the things that I'm allowing my spirit to worship? Am I allowing my spirit to worship the stuff I have? Am I allowing the spirit to worship? Hey, what about this? Worshiping the stuff we don't have.
Wow. Mm. Come on now.
Come on. See, I think a lot of times, one of the things we've been talking about, and I'm going to be, I think I'm going to be preaching about tonight, if I can get to it in 15 minutes, is talking about this, the things that we don't have. Sometimes we look at what we don't have so often that we forget the things that we do have. That I don't even know where that fits in. That may be in worship, that may be in lust. It's probably in all three of them. You can't ever tell. Well, I want to show you somebody that dealt with these three things, and we want to look at how they dealt with them. In Matthew chapter 4, there's a story of Jesus, and he's a pretty important fella in the Bible. And so we want to see how he dealt with these three areas, these three issues. Because here's the cool thing about Christ. When Christ came to the world, he didn't just come to the world just to be holy. He didn't come to the world just to be better than everybody else. He came to the world to deal with the same exact issues that you and I are going to deal with. Now, you're going to right off the bat say, yeah, but he didn't deal with cigarettes, right? Because they didn't have cigarettes. He didn't deal with drugs because they didn't necessarily have all the same drugs we have today. He didn't deal with, you know, divorce because he wasn't married. Can I tell you, though, everything you deal with today can be summed up in one of those three categories? mind, body, and spirit. Everything you deal with can be summed up in one of those three categories. And here is a story of Jesus dealing with all three of those. And so we're going to learn how to apply this, what he did, to our life today. Look in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Now Jesus just got baptized. And then the Bible says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. I don't know about you, but that's not the kind of Holy Spirit activity I want in my life, right? I want the Holy Spirit to do great things in me. I don't want him taking me out to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, afterward, he was hungry, of course. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, are you the Son of God? Oh, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up to the holy city and put him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Let me point out a couple of neat thoughts here out of this word for you today. One thing I just want you to notice is that the devil always says, if you are, right? If you are the Son of God. Now, we all know Jesus is the Son of God, but did you notice in the Bible, whenever you read, he calls himself the Son of Man? Why? Because whenever he came to earth, he let loose of all of his godness, right? He had to let that stuff go, because if he came to earth and just was God all the time, then he would not be applicable to you and I. I think it's interesting that because he let go of God and came to earth as a man, then he had to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. And then he began to do miracles. And we think, yeah, but that's just Jesus. But then he goes on to say, these miracles you will do, and greater ones can you do. In other words, Jesus is saying, y'all don't get so hung up in me being God. Understand that I'm a man just like you. I'm going to die. I'm gonna have holes. I'm going to bleed. Everything's going to happen to me just like will happen to you. Yeah. I'm just showing you as a man how you can overcome all that stuff. So that's the first thing I want you to notice. The devil is always going to point out his past. If you are the Son of God, see, the devil doesn't want him to be man. The devil doesn't want him to be like us. So the devil's always pointing out his past, and that's what the devil's going to do to you.
Yep.
The devil's going to come up to you and say, look, if you're a man, you're just a man. It's okay for you to do this. Listen, your mama did this to you, so it's okay for you to act like this. Your daddy did this, so it's okay for you to do it. He's always going to be pointing out your past. He always wants to bring up old identities. But the first thing the Bible says, that Jesus, speaking back to the devil, said this, man does not live by bread alone. When you look at that word bread there, throughout the Bible, the bread is used as the body. So the first temptation came to Jesus was all about the body. The devil is trying to appeal to the cravings of his natural body. And Jesus says, that's not the only thing that gives me life. I live on the Word of God. I live on everything that God speaks to me. The second thing that the devil did is he took him up on the pinnacle right on the temple and told him to jump off, told him to commit suicide. You know, most of the time when people commit suicide, it's not over a physical issue. It's a mental thing that you're dealing with, depression, doubt, confusion. It's always a mental issue, and the devil's trying to tempt Jesus into jumping off of this temple. And here's what Jesus says to combat that. He says, do not tempt the Lord your God. Now, we just talked about earlier, temptation is a mind thing. So Jesus has to deal with the body. Now he has to deal with the mind. The devil knows how to attack you. He's going to hit your body. If that doesn't work, he's going to go after your mind. If that doesn't work, look at the next thing. The devil says, if you'll just worship me. Jesus says, worship. Now, I'm not supposed to worship anybody else but God alone. What is worship? Worship's all about your spirit.
Yep. Amen.
See, Jesus dealt three times with the same three issues you and I are going to deal with. Now, how will they manifest themselves to you and me? I don't know. They're going to do differently to you and me. The cravings of my flesh are going to be different than the cravings of your flesh. The temptations of my mind are going to be different than the temptations of your mind. The temptation of my affections is going to be different than yours. But the fact is, it's going to hit us all three ways. Every single time. And we got to learn how Jesus dealt with those. Every time Jesus dealt with them, he came back with the Word of God. He came back with some kind of identifier, something that said, this is not who I am. What you're asking me to do is not who I am. I think a lot of times what we do is whenever we start getting these old identities coming back at us, we want to not do those things, but instead we dive right in. We forget that it's not who we were, who we are. Maybe who I was, but it's not who I am. And so we allow those things into our life. But let me give you three things that Jesus does for us that I think are really cool. Number one thing that Jesus does for us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible says that he makes you new. He makes you new. Everybody say new.
New.
He makes you new. Jesus comes in, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what your life was like, no matter what your past identities are, he makes you a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now that's wonderful. That's wonderful. And like I said before, it's not just a one-time deal. Jesus is always making you new. So whenever you look at something that you did yesterday, and the devil comes up to you and he wants to tempt you to do it again today, you can say, I'm new. I'm brand new. The Bible actually even says this. It says in the book of Ezekiel, it says that you've been given a new heart and a new spirit. He says, I will give you brand new parts. One time I wanted to buy an iPod. Back when iPod, regular old iPod, the kind with the little bitty screen and little dial on it. You know, those older ones. I wanted to buy one of those one time, and I didn't have the money to pay for a brand new one. So I called the lady, and I said, at Apple, I said, look, I want to buy an iPod, but I don't want to pay full price for one. Tell me about the refurbished ones. I said, what is it like? You know, is it kind of messed up? She said, sir, let me tell you something about the refurbished iPods. She said, we put all new parts on them. She said, the only part that isn't brand new on those iPods is the battery. She said, everything else, new screen, new case, new guts, everything is brand new except for one little part, and that's the battery. But everything else is brand new. And she said, and you get it at like half the cost. And I thought, well, why will I ever buy anything new again? Right? I mean, just common sense here. But I find that very interesting that when you return an iPod to the store and you say, you know, you get it home and maybe you buy an Apple product and it just wasn't exactly what you wanted. You wanted something bigger or you wanted something smaller and you take it in. Even if nothing is wrong with it, you take it in, they are going to take that thing completely apart and put brand new parts right back into it and then sell it at less the cost. And I thought, man, that's exactly what God wants to do with you. He doesn't take out your personality, who you are. I mean, you're still supposed to be fun. You're still supposed to be have the same talents and gifts and abilities. But what he does is whenever you come to Christ, he takes all the stuff out of you that he doesn't need anymore and puts brand new stuff back in you. Yep. He makes you a new person with the same personality, the same drive, the same vigor, but a brand new person. He wants to create us brand new today. And I think that's awesome. I think that's awesome. The second thing that Jesus wants to do for you today is he wants to renew you. He wants to renew you. Now the Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. Whenever we wake up every day, we have the opportunity to not just be new, but to be renewed on a daily basis. Throughout the day, we can be renewed. We can be cleaned up. We can be polished. We can be made a whole different person. If you look with me in Romans chapter 12 today, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Look at this. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Jesus wants to renew our mind today. He wants to renew your thoughts, your patterns, the way that you see life. He wants to renew that. Look in Psalm 51:10. Psalm 51:10. We're going to just keep going, putting them on the screen. I'm not even going to flip to them. Psalm 51:10 says this. Let's see. Sorry, Kim. I know I didn't give you that verse. I'm making you go fast. Boom. Look at her. She's good. Give Kim a hand. She's great. Good job, Kim. Look at this. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. renew a spirit within me. Now look at 2 Corinthians 4:16. 2 Corinthians 4:16, that's back in the New Testament. I know we're going back and forth. We're hurting you today. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed. Folks, let me tell you something. Every day, God wants to renew you. He wants to renew you mind, body, and spirit. He wants to renew you. Have you ever noticed that whenever you have those moments with God, now, we all want those moments with God every day, but have you ever noticed that you've had those moments with God, a moment of revelation where God just really speaks to your heart and you just had this, oh, wow, for whatever reason, I just got closer to Him today, and you have those moments. Have you ever noticed that all of a sudden, man, you start thinking, I don't even want to think about that other stuff anymore. I want to change the way I'm thinking. I want to change what I'm worshiping today. And we start wanting to change. I know there are times when I have those moments with God, y'all going to think I'm crazy. I have those moments with God, and I'll have a great service, a great, great day of worship, great day of something, and I'll go home and I'll think, I got to go, I need to go to the gym. Why? Because He's affecting every part of who I am. The problem is those days when I go out and buy white fudge covered Oreos, and then that shoots all that to the foot. God's still working on me. He's still renewing me in some of my cravings. And then I give my sin to everybody else. That's right. Listen, can I just be honest with you for a second? Yesterday, I spent some time at the house making cookies. And I probably made 4 dozen cookies because we're going to go see my grandmother. And I use the excuse that I'm going to give them to my grandmother. But you and I both know that on the way to Arkansas, I'm going to buy some milk. And I'm going to eat a whole bunch of cookies. So that has nothing to do with the message except just know that I'm a sinner just like the rest of us. Let me tell you the last thing Jesus does for us. So Jesus makes us new. He renews us daily. And then the last thing is found in Revelation chapter 2, verse 16. And it says, oh, no, that is wrong. Don't look at that verse. That verse will not help you today. Let me just read it. She did it. It's 17. My bad, Kim. I wrote that down wrong. Or I said it wrong. I had it written down right. Verse 16 says, repent, or else I will come to you quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. That may be for somebody today. I don't know who it is. One of y'all may need to get a hold of that before you get chopped up with the sword today. Let's look at verse 17. It says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one except him who receives it understands. Man, that's cool. Amen. So not only does he make us new, not only does he renew us, but he gives us a new name. Let me tell you what that new name is. That new name is a new identity. He gives you a brand new understanding of who you are. He gives you a brand new understanding of what your purpose is and what your goals are. He gives you a brand new perspective on life because he's got a stone, and on that stone, he writes a new name for you. And the Bible says that only the person who receives it can understand it. Can I tell you why? Because so many people have seen your past. So many people have seen your life. They've seen what you've done. They've seen the attitudes that you've had. They've seen what all we've acted like, and they don't understand when we get that new name. They don't understand that God gives us a new identity. They only want to know us by our old identities, but I'm going to tell you something today. God's got a stone today with a new identity just for you. Just for you. And here's the cool thing. He doesn't just give it to anybody and everybody. He gives it to him who overcomes. He gives it to him who overcomes. Can I tell you today, another part of your identity besides being new, besides being brand new, besides being renewed, another part of your identity today is to be an overcomer. You could say that today. Say, I am an overcomer. You can say that. That is a part of who you are. And now you look at your failures and you say, but Gary, well, you don't understand all the things I've done. Can I tell you, it's not about those failures. It's about getting up. It's not about falling down. Everybody falls down. Not everybody gets up. An overcomer is one that gets up and stays up. The overcomer is the one that doesn't stay down. The overcomer is the one that says, I see the light of the word on my path, and I'm going to walk in that light. Let me end with this. Pastor Shane, you can come on up. Let me end with this thought. The Bible says this. It says that they overcame him in the book of Revelation, talking about the enemy. talks about the Christians, says they overcame him, and it says they basically had two weapons, two bullets in their gun to overcome the devil. What were those two things? The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Can I tell you something today? Whenever you get saved, when you give your heart to Jesus Christ, you have that blood that covers all sin. So when the enemy comes against you, you say, look, bro, I've been made brand new today. What you don't understand is, yes, I used to be that way, or sure, my parents were that way. When you get tempted with decommitting from your spouse, when you get tempted with looking around to other places, you may look at your past and say, but my parents got divorced, and my grandparents got divorced, and my uncle got divorced. And you can say, that's what the enemy's going to bring to you, but all you've got to do is say, yeah, but the blood covered all that stuff, and I'm brand new. I'm brand new. I got a new heart. I got a new mind. I've got a new body. I am brand new. Whenever your body wants to crave things, and whenever your mind wants to lust after things, and whenever your spirit wants to worship things that aren't godly, you say, you don't understand, but the blood covered me, and I'm clean. I'm new. The other thing it says is with the word of their testimony. What is your testimony? Your testimony is nothing more than this book right here and everything Jesus has done for you. You want to overcome today? You want a new name? You want a new identity in Jesus Christ? You need the blood and you need the word. You get those two things operating in your life, then you can overcome anything. You can jump over any hurdle, because those are the two things that we all need in our life. Let me tell you something. You can't walk today in old identities. We cannot allow our past identities to dictate our future actions. We've got to learn to drop those past identities altogether. I talked at the beginning of this series about people that go through AA. And while, you know, I'm not against AA, don't get me wrong. But the one thing I don't like is whenever you talk to people like that, and they've got a whole reason and purpose for it, I understand. One thing I don't like is when someone says, I'm an alcoholic. And they may not have drunk for however many years. They may have been set free. But they always have to say, I'm an alcoholic. And again, they may have their reasons, but that always rubs me the wrong way. Because I think that's an old identity that's gone when you come to Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you something today. When you leave here, there's going to be temptation. I'm not telling you that you're not going to be. If Jesus was tempted right after he's filled with the Holy Spirit and baptized, then don't you think whenever we walk off the escape floor, we're going to get tempted? Sure we are. But that's where we've got to remember that we are not that person. I love the thought that his mercies are new every morning. I also love the thought that whenever he forgives you, he forgets. The Bible says he takes every sin, every issue, and casts it as far as the east is from the west. He casts it away. He throws it away. Now, y'all may think, well, Gabriel, I'm saved today. I don't need to know all that. I've been saved knowing I was saved since I was 10 years old. I mean, I remember the moment of salvation, one of the moments of salvation. When you grow up in church, you get saved every week. But I remember like the main one I claim is when I was 10 years old. But let me tell you something. The enemy still attacks. The enemy still wants me to go back to the different moments of my life where I've messed up. Every day he wants me to do that. So every day, I've got to come back at him with the word and a new identity of who God has made me. That I'm new. I'm new, I'm being renewed, and I have a new name, a new identity. Amen? Why don't we close our eyes this morning?
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.